Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribal Wisdom Radio, your marriage support network. Tune in for all things love, marriage, and family. We are devoted to love. Here we go.
Here we go, indeed. Welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston. Happy Wedding Wednesday, everybody. I know that you guys are excited as I am to be back again for some time to spend together. We are just coming off of our March shows where we were getting fired up for marriage. We spoke to some wonderful, wonderful guests. And, of course, April is going to be no different. Since it is April, this is the month on Tribal Wisdom where we're going to be investing in ourselves, investing our money. We're going to talk about investments. Tonight's show, which I'm so happy to bring to you through Relationship Resolutions, is about five ways to live a more organized life together. Modern life is often full of big changes, marriages, moving in together, having a family, etc. And with those big changes comes things, lots of things, old tennis rackets, bikes, furniture, clothing, dishes, and more. So how do you fit two or more lives into one household? Our guest tonight, Tanisha Lyons Porter, is a professional organizer with decades of experience in sorting, categorizing, and streamlining. She's an expert on sharing ways that families can create organizational solutions to live their best lives. And she is our wonderful guest tonight. I want you to welcome her to Tribal Wisdom. In fact, I'm going to have her come and tell you a little bit about herself before we move into our show. Hello, Tanisha. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom.
Hello, 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 Cynthia. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Good, good. I don't know if you're going to still feel that way because, you know, this it gets a little zany on air if you don't know.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm a little zany myself, so I think
okay.
We'll do just fine.
Okay. I'll just, you know, I like to give out the pre-warning that usually we're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of chatter, you know. But please tell our listeners, in fact, before you tell our listeners who you are, where you're from, and what it is you do, I want to let you guys know, for those of you listening on the internet, or just if you called in, if you'd like to call in and ask Tanisha any questions, the telephone number is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let me know if you have a question or a comment, but do please wait till the 10 o'clock hour. Let us get started giving you some wonderful information about combining our lives and melding or molding her glam style with his man style. So, Tanisha, do please tell us who you are, where you're from, and what it is you do.
All right. So, hello, everybody out there. I am the owner and chief executive organizer of Natural Born Organizers, and I am a member of NAPO, which is the National Association of Professional Organizers. And I will actually begin my term on the Los Angeles Chapter's Board of Directors, so I'm very, very excited about that. I am the wife of my husband, Dana, which we will be married for 13 years in October, and I am the mother of three, Ashley, Dana, Janae, and Cole. I am also the office manager and co-director with my husband of the Children and Youth Ministries at my church, the Message Center World Church in Torrance, California, where my pastor twin is the visionary of that house. And then finally, I'm a teacher, a nurturer, and a motivator by nature, which is a perfect fit with my passion for organizing and efficiency. I'm not trying to create OCD tendencies in my clients. My goal is to be the organization for the unorganized and transfer certain skills that I feel they will be able to maintain their organizational goals after I leave. That's pretty much me in a nutshell.
That's a lot. That's a lot. And if you can keep that organized, then, yeah, you can organize just about everybody else while you're at it. That is a lot. And since you have been married 13 years and you have three children, you absolutely have some experience of bringing together different styles and helping your children stay organized as well.
Yes, yes, because I have no shame saying that I am the only organized person in my house. So my family is my continual test case. You know, everything, it's continuous. It's a continuous process to find efficiency and find what works for people who aren't as organized as me, because I feel like it's a scale. It is a total scale of organization, and so, and everybody falls someplace on that scale, because I am a firm believer that even the most organized person has OCD tendencies in something. You know what I mean? Whether it's, whether it's their job or whether it is, whatever their passion is, I bet you they have OCD tendencies in that spot. But everything else could be totally on the chronically disorganized scale. So, yeah, so I like to tap into whatever that is.
Now, you know what, I have to admit that personally I was very high on the OCD scale for a while. Mm-hmm. And after becoming an entrepreneur, it has absolutely tapered off, at least in the areas where I would not want it to taper off. I'm still OCD kind of in the business arena. I like things to be, you know, in order. I love order.
Yeah.
I love efficiency. But now, you know, parts of my home, I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm just too tired.
Right.
And
exactly. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It's because we only have 100% as far as our time and our day. We are only allowed 100% to figure out what we're going to do in our day. We are not allowed 100.2345 or 150. This is when we try and fit more than 100% into our day, and then that's when the kilters go off.
it just does not work at all. And my friends are always saying, you know, Cynthia, you need to contribute to the economy and hire someone to come in. And I'm like, oh, is that how I should see it? I need to contribute to the economy. Okay. All right. I might have to take them up on it. But, you know, as a kind of a slightly OCD person, you like to do it yourself. You like to kind of keep things in order yourself.
Yeah.
And if you hire someone, you're going to end up cleaning before they get there anyway.
So. Well, you know what? That is a possibility. But it also brings me up on the whole thing on life balancing and figuring out exactly how you're going to split up that pie of, you know, of your time. And honestly, if you have, you know, if your pie is segmented and you realize that, you know, certain parts of your life that you would like to get to, but you just honestly do not have the time and other things take priority, which that pie is a variable. It changes just depending on the day, the time, and the season. Then I would definitely say go out and get help. I have taken off my superwoman cape. Even though I am a professional organizer, I like things organized. I like to know exactly where things are and stuff like that. But I have taken off my superwoman cape, and I know that I cannot do everything, and thus I bring in help when I need it.
Yes, yes.
So I suggest you do the same, everyone.
I'm going to get there. Just
yes,
you know, just
you
pray
will.
For me. Pray for assistance.
Yes.
Pray. Keep me on the prayer list.
I will do that. I will do that. Take off the cape and hang it up, girl.
Okay. So why don't we get into this conversation about, you know, I know you're going to give us the 5 tips, but is it, and I don't even have to ask, is it difficult? Because I've seen it myself with friends, with family members. You know, when you get married and you might have similar style, you might even have different style
mm-hmm.
than your newlywed spouse. But bringing your things together, all of those things, as you said, whether it be your furniture, your clothes, books, you know, it's an emotional journey to move in and try to make everything fit. You know, how do we go about helping couples, or rather, how do you go about, because it's not, you know, I don't speak French that well. It's not a we thing, it's a you thing. How do you go about helping individuals come together in their new space as newlyweds
mm-hmm.
And organize bringing their styles together?
Well, you know what? That is actually a perfect segue into the first way. And one of the first things that I would suggest doing is you have to redefine the new home. So regardless if you're moving into a new home with your spouse that neither one of you guys lived in previously, or you're moving in, you know, into someone's previous home,
yes,
you have to now redefine that, because technically it may not be new for one, but the mindset has to change, and it's now new for you as a couple and for your new life together. So that's one of my first suggestions, is looking at what that new home and how that new home is going to represent you and your new life together. And I suggest having and starting those types of conversations early in the engagement process. I know there's so many things that go on when you're planning a wedding and you're talking about getting engaged and you do the premarital counseling and you're talking about everything else. And I feel like the last thing that is discussed actually probably isn't discussed until you're actually moving into you're actually joining that process of joining everything together. I think that as you guys are really talking about engagement, and after, you know, he put a ring on it, you guys really have to talk about, okay, especially when you know that I got good stuff, you know, my style is nice, his style is swagalicious, you know. You guys really need to kind of talk about, okay, what's going to be our new style together, you
yes.
know. There's going to be easy things, you know what I mean? And that brings, you know, to the first way is, you know, discuss it as early as possible, but then get rid of that low-hanging fruit. Talk about those easy, easy items that it's like a no-brainer, you know. If he has the nice living room set and it's a lot better than yours and yours is the same living room set from, you know, from college, you know, when you were just getting out of college and getting into the corporate world or whatever, and you like that style, that's a no-brainer, you know what I mean? If
yeah.
you have duplicates, if you have duplicate, you know, crock pots, and neither one of you guys really use your crock pots that much anyway on your own, then you only need one, and then you just kind of look and see which one's the newest, which one kind of goes with the style of the kitchen, and you pick that one. You know, if you guys have two blenders and one is broken, that's pretty much if one has a big crack in the plastic, that's easy, we're not going to take that. So my number one way to live a more organized life together is start to have the conversations as early as possible in the engagement process and discuss the duplications, the consolidations, and decide on those easy things, because you want to avoid bringing everything into the new home. Because, as you know, the last thing you want to have be your first big blow-up argument after you've said I do, after you've had the wonderful honeymoon, is what we're keeping and what we're not.
You know what? I think that's an excellent start. You're right. It really does start with first redefining the space. I think
yes.
that is such an excellent point, because I'm not sure we do take the time to, if you're moving into an existing place, whether he's
right.
moving into her space or she's moving into his space, to
right.
say, you know, this is no longer my space. It's a we space. We've gone from
yeah.
me to we.
Yeah.
So redefining that space and then starting the conversation early, that sounds like excellent, excellent tips, because I can see that I would not be giving up my crock pot. I'm just putting that out there right now. I'm just trying to say the girl loves her crock pots. I'm the type, because I like to cook. Okay.
Yes.
And I have more than one crock pot, because I have a crock pot specifically for meats, and I have
yes.
a crock pot for desserts. So, you know, if he's not using his crock pots and it's just sitting around, you could just best believe that
you are winning the crock pot decision.
That is a no-brainer conversation right there. Do not mess with my crock pots. There will be a fight. I'm just saying.
Yes. And that is a fight you would prefer to have, prior to the I do's and not that first month after you guys are, you know, had this wonderful month. You don't want to have that argument. You don't want to have that argument.
No. And it's not going to be either. But anyway, I'm kidding. I'm just saying.
I love it.
So, the low-hanging fruit. Let's talk more about the low-hanging fruit so that our audience gets a standing of what you mean by that. You did say, you know, if it's an old furniture that you've had around or – but let's talk about those no-brainers and low-hanging fruit. Give some examples.
Let's see. I would say definitely, you know, if one person has beat up things and, you know, and you already know that you would have wanted to – get rid of that or replace it in your own space, but maybe you just didn't have the funds or it wasn't a priority at the time, then don't even wait. You know the term pick your battles?
Yes.
That's one you don't want to hold on to. You know, you want to cut that emotional string on that because it's not worth it. Because later on, if you're going to fight over something, you want to have that debate, that healthy debate over the crock pot. For instance, not over the couch that you would have replaced if, you know, if time, either time permitted or money permitted or what have you. So don't even waste your energy on that. Also, if you know that this coffee table or this chair wiggles and, you know, those chairs where you sit in. And, it's like constantly wiggling, you know, or that table that it's never steady. You know, the ones when you're at the restaurant and it's just moving around and you got to fold up a little piece of paper to get it to stand still.
Yes.
You know, if you know your table or your chair wiggles like that and you've had it forever, or you could have it for 2 years and you haven't fixed it yet, but it annoys you. You don't want to bring that's a no-brainer. You don't want to necessarily bring that into the new house, especially if your new spouse, has a better table.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Those things in your storage, if you happen to have an off-site storage, which we'll talk about later, or if you happen to have just small storage that comes with your condo or your townhouse or what have you, and all of that stuff, you pretty much haven't gone to it since you moved into that place.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to really discuss that. You can go through it just to make sure you don't have any real good memorabilia in there. But I would bet that the majority, 90% of that stuff does not need to come with you to the new home.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Definitely to talk about storage options, the option of storage is always wonderful as long as it's not in the garage because I like my garage clear.
Yes, yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
So,
yes.
Great, great. All right, so that would be our first tip to really define your new home.
Yes.
Make the decision early, talk about it early, have the conversation early, and, you know, don't be afraid to get rid of the low-hanging fruit, those pieces of furniture or those things in your life that don't necessarily hold too much value because they're probably broken.
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So let's move right along then. Number two.
Okay. So number two, create your zones. And when I say zones, I'm going from broad to specific. So the broad would be create your zones within the house. So whether it's an apartment, a townhouse, a condo, a traditional home, decide how the living room is going to function. How is the kitchen and or if you have a wide space in the common living areas, how are those going to function? If you have an extra bedroom, how is that going to function? Is it going to be a home office? Is it going to be a craft room? Is it going to be either the male or female hangout spot? Are you going to hold it off for the nursery? You know, because you know the first thing people are asking for newlyweds is when's the baby coming? When's the
yes.
baby coming?
Yes.
So, you know, is that extra room going to be, you know, kind of set aside for a nursery? You know, talk about your individual spaces and create zones, broad zones in your home. And then more specifically, talk about, okay, I do have this extra room. How are we going to split up this room? How are we going to utilize the different space in this room? Okay, so I need a home office, but you need an area to where you can do your hobbies. So can we split up and zone off this room to where you can have your space, I can have my space? You know, the kitchen, okay, where thinking about where different items are going to be stored in the kitchen, whether or not our bulk items when we go to Costco or, you know, or Target and we buy all of our bulk items, is that going to be stored somewhere in the kitchen depending on your the storage available that you have? Is that going to be maybe in a hall closet that you really don't utilize? Is it going to be in the laundry room? So thinking about those things, you know, your living room, is that going to be, you know, what function? How do you want that room, each room, to function in your house? And then that also determines what goes into it. So if your living room is going to be the hub of your household, versus a living room that is just purely for look and design, like some of us remember, you know, growing up when we were children.
Right, because there was a living room, there was a den, and if you're down south, there was what they call the Florida room.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. So depending on what that function of that room is, it's going to determine what goes into that room. So a lot of times when I'm working with clients and, you know, they have a room, they have either a catch-all room or they have a living room or den that has become out of control, the first thing I ask is, how do you want this space to function? What do you want to do in this room? How do you want to feel when you walk into this room? And anything that is currently in that room that does not match that function or that feel, it immediately has to go. And so I would suggest the second way to live a more organized life together is decide on, in the broad sense, the zones and the functions of your home, and then within, in the more specific sense, decide on the zones within each room once you decide how you want a certain room to function, because that will greatly determine what comes into the house. Because you know, most of the time when you see professional organizers on TV or you read articles or whatever, the first thing you hear is purge, 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 which is fine. We do have to have the habit or we have to be able to be okay with purging. But my philosophy is, as long as you have the space for whatever you want to keep, I will make sure that we organize that space so that you can find exactly what you need. The problem comes when you have 10 pounds of things and you want to fit it in a 5-pound space.
Yes.
Because that's where the clutter comes from and that's where the excess comes from. So understanding the zones, broad and specific, will help you determine what you have room for to bring in as a couple. And then that will also help the conversations of, okay, well, this is the amount of space that we have. And that, you know, this item, whether it's an extra office desk or another office chair or a bookshelf or a dresser or armoire, you know, once you understand and you have your zones, like, say, in the master bedroom, then it's really easy to determine, okay, does this fit the function or not? Do I have the space for it or not? And then it avoids that stash mentality where, okay, I want to keep it. I would like for it to be in the master bedroom, but there's really no room for it, so I'm just going to go put it over in this corner for a while until I kind of figure that out. And that's the worst thing you can do, because then – it doesn't match the function, the feel, and the goal of the household. So you want it to be, you know, uniformed for you two as a couple, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And I love that you said the function, the feel, and the goal of the household.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not even sure. I've seen people on TV, in movies and, you know, nighttime soap operas kind of have those conversations about, oh, what we will do is with this room will be the baby's room, you know, that kind of thing. But I can't say that I know anybody personally that has the conversation as to what this room is going to be used for. Usually I think the wife just decides, you know, the husband's
right.
Like, look, you know,
Yeah.
I don't want to be involved. Just tell me where everything is when I need it, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But then that's where some of those, you know, those little daily struggles that we have comes up in married life and family life when, you know, somebody's in the living room doing their homework. Or someone's in their living room eating, or someone's in the living room with all of their Legos on the floor, or there's a big pile of shoes in the living room because the living room, the function of the living room was not defined.
Gotcha.
Once the function of the living room and then maybe the common space, you know, a lot of homes now have, you know, the kitchen and like kind of the den is one big room and it's kind of like a great room, you
yes.
know, once you realize, okay, this zone over here in this corner is a perfect space, is a perfect landing place for coats and purses and shoes, you know, and then once you decide that, then if you don't have the furniture to, you know, make that space work, then that's when you start looking at the different stores that you frequent on a frequent basis. And you look for hooks, and you look for baskets and bins and cubbies and a coat rack and an umbrella holder to put in that space so that people are trained to put these things in that area so that they're not all over the living room. And then when the doorbell rings, you're in a panic because your living room has a bunch of things just all over the place. You know what I mean?
I do. I really like, you know, it's becoming more clear because once you decide on the function of the space, then you can decide whether or not you need to even shop for a piece of furniture or not.
Mm-hmm.
You might either already have the piece of furniture or you might have to shop for it. Or sometimes you want to shop for it anyway just to be able to combine the style, you know,
yes.
both styles of the individual. So, yes, it makes perfect sense. And more and more these days, and I can say, like, even in my house, I like for my guests, as soon as they walk in the door, to take off their shoes. So right at the door,
mm-hmm.
I have, like, a little cubby that has slippers and everything in it where,
yes.
where, you know, they can take off their shoes right there and they can put on some slippers if they didn't bring any or if they, you know, they feel subconscious about their feet or their socks or whatever.
Right.
But, yes, that purchasing that cubby was a decision once I decided what the function of that area was going to be. So it makes complete sense.
Yes. And can you imagine, because whether or not you have the cubby there or not, your desire when people come into your house,
mm-hmm.
whether it's guests or whoever lives in the house, your desire is that the shoes will stay in that area
yes.
and that, you know, and that, you know, people will put on the slippers or the socks or what have you. Imagine if you didn't have that cubby there to house whatever mm-hmm. you wanted your guests or your family members to do. Imagine
right.
how that area would then look.
Yeah,
and
no.
how then yeah. And then relate that to how that would make you feel.
Yes. No, because I can say that I've visited other homes where I've walked in and tripped over other people's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I can't even concentrate. I could be all the way in the living room. And, you know, it's so true. I could be in their living room having a conversation, and I'm still like, dang, somebody else is going to chip over those shoes. Or, you know, my mind is, like, still over there on the issue that, you know.
Yes.
And it's not even my issue because it's not
no.
even my house.
No,
so,
but imagine if it was your house,
mm-hmm.
and so then your angst, you're full of angst about that, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
then imagine how that affects your relationship with your spouse.
Yes, I love
because
I
you're
love
full of
crazy.
Angst.
Right. Yeah. I look crazy. I look crazy.
Yes.
I told a friend of mine, you know, my sister-in-law and I are very similar when it comes to trying our best to stay organized, and life can get overwhelming because life happens.
Yeah.
And one of the things that she has done, she wears glasses. So if the house is not in the order that she likes it to be in, the first thing she has to do when she comes home is take off her glasses so she can't see the mess. If she doesn't take off her glasses, it's going to drive her nuts. She's going to get distracted from, you know, the routine. You know, you have a routine. You come in, you take off your shoes, you take off your clothes. You try to relax just a little bit, or, you decide what's going to be you to cook dinner, all that kind of thing.
Yes.
If she walks in the house and doesn't take off her glasses, the first she'll start cleaning up, and, you know, she'll be totally distracted from what has to be done. So one of the ways that she deals is she takes off her glasses because she can't see.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I get it. I totally get it, because sometimes when, you know, either you had a hard day, a busy day, you're just tired, you know, you don't want to pick up or clean, but something in you, we walk in the house, and like for me, it's my kitchen counter. It's the island. Yeah. I prefer the island to be as clear as possible with only the things that I feel functionally need to be on the island. So that's my container with either my sweet potatoes or my fruit or what have you, maybe a candle, maybe the orchid plant, you know. And then if somebody washed dishes earlier in the day and, you know, they didn't use the dishwasher, maybe there's, you know, a few dishes drying on the counter, you know, whatever. But not everyone's purse and backpack and, you know, the mail from 2 days ago and what, you know, and somebody may have went to a restaurant and brought take home and so, but they've already eaten it and it's still on there. If I walk in, no matter how tired I am, no matter if I have a deadline or something, I'm going to see it, and I have to, at least at a minimum, clear off the counter.
Yes.
So I get it. I totally get it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I'm like, listening to what you say, I'm like, yeah, and I completely get it. And for me, I mean, and it still bothers me internally, because I come in and usually my mind is so much on work that I just come straight, you know, I take off my coat and everything and I come straight from my computer. But I know that, you know, the laundry that I need to do is sitting in my living room to put inside the cart so I can take it down to, you know, the laundry room. And the back of my head is going, you know, there's laundry out there, right? You know, there's laundry. And I'm just like, shh, I need to get this done.
I know.
But
that is actually a good practice, because sometimes it's okay to go shh, shh, and just push the laundry to the next day. Sometimes it's okay. It's okay to do that.
Okay. I'm. Thank you. That helps me a lot, immensely. Because the guilt, I'm telling you, is something else. So okay.
No, because in the bigger scheme of things, that laundry is not going to make or break your life the next day.
Yeah, okay.
It's not.
We're still working on that.
Yeah, it's not. In the bigger scheme of things, it's not. It's not. And that's what you just kind of have to, you know, you have to keep reminding yourself. And then the next day, you adjust that pie, that time pie that you have, and you readjust.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. Okay, so let's move on to point number three. You mentioned, you know, we talked about storage facilities, but you say to avoid storage facilities if at all possible. Talk about that.
Yes. Point number three, the third way to live a more organized life together is avoid outside storage facilities if you can. The reason why is because they are costly. They are costly. Storage facilities, outside storage facilities, range from a small storage unit, which is 5 foot by 5 foot approximately, all the way up to a larger unit, which could be 20 feet by 20 feet. They range from $40 a month to up to $255 or $300 a month. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, you could be spending $500 to $3,000 a year to store a dining room, an extra dining room set that you may have bought for, let's even say you bought it for $1,000.
Right.
You know, you're paying $3,000 to store it. Is it worth it? Is
you know
that
what?
Really worth it?
First of all, it already sounds like it's breaking into my shoe budget.
Hello.
So
my shoe budget, my vacation budget, my
yes.
Like if I think about whatever it is, you know, that I would store off site, do I love that more than I love sprawling out on a beach watching God's wonderful, amazing creation of the water?
No.
No, I don't.
Absolutely.
No, I would rather spend my $500 to $1,000 a year on vacationing, traveling the world, you know, and whatever makes my heart jump at that time.
Yes.
And that storage facility does not do it.
Yes. And you're right. So, okay. So the storage facility is really about a budget thing.
Yes.
So,
it's being fiscally responsible as a couple. It's about being
like
fiscally responsible as a couple. And that would probably be, that is the number one thing. That would be a downfall. That would be a red flag. So if you're going to, you know, if you want to start your new life together, you know, being fiscally responsible, and in this day and age, we have to create that nest egg. We have to create that savings, you know, for that rainy day. And, you know, to be honest, a lot of us don't have it. And sometimes, or some of us, one place where that money is going is outside storage facilities.
Right.
You know, I mean, in the Self Storage Association says that, what was I saying, that almost 700,000 to 1.4 million people have difficulty in throwing away anything for fear that they may need the item again later.
Mm-hmm.
That is the crux of having and needing storage facilities. But if you go back to how much money you're spending to store it versus other ways that money could be spent, I'm pretty sure that the things that you're holding on to and you have that fear of letting go because you think you may need it at one point in time, it's not worth it. It's just
yes.
not worth it.
Yes, yes. Agreed. Okay, so it's about being, and I'm going to post that later on because I think that is a perfect way to say it. It's about being a fiscally responsible couple.
Yes.
So avoid outside storage facilities if at all possible, because I might need them for my shoes. So, like I said, I just need to throw that in right quick so that we know that you say keep only what you need.
Yes.
Shoes come back in style. So I will need my shoes. I need my platforms. I
yes.
need my wedges. I need my espadrilles. I need those things.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I am okay with that if you have the space for it and if they still fit, if they feel good when you put them on, if they're not damaged, because
right.
this is the thing. I always have, you know, I have this conversation with people and, you know, we're going through the closet and we're trying to figure out things and they're holding on to say, oh, I need to take this to get this fixed or get this repaired. And so we'll have conversations and I will say, okay, I'll give you a month. We're going to put this, you know, whatever items they either need to go to the tailor or the dry cleaner or to the shoe repair person or what have you to get fixed. We're going to put it in a box or a bag. We're going to put it in the car because you have to take the car. Well, you know, in Southern California, you do most of the time. But we're going to put it in the place, like if it's somebody in New York, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to put it in the place that you grab when you're out the door. You know, your last spot where you're picking up everything out the door, I'm going to put it right there. Then if I come back in a month, or sometimes I'll give them a quarter, if I come back and that bag is still there and you haven't taken those shoes to get fixed or that jacket to, you know, to get fixed or whatever, then it's not that important to you and we really need to discuss you letting that go and donating it to somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm good. I'm good with you keeping your shoes. And
me too.
As long as they kind of follow that category, we are okay. That is
they
okay
do.
With me.
Trust me. They they do. And, you know, I keep my shoes pretty pristine. So anybody that comes over, they always go, hey, what size shoe you wear? And I go, back off.
Well, that is good. That is good. I do not have a problem with somebody having a collection and them loving something and them taking care of it. So yes. That is not a problem for me.
Okay. So great. Let's move on to point number four. What do we do about, you know, the pitfalls?
Yes, because we all have pitfalls. So the fourth way to live a more organized life together is identify and recognize your organizational pitfalls. And you have to be honest with yourself and your spouse about what that is. And especially, we need to hold each other accountable, but with love and with grace, not with resentment, not with mean-spirited words or actions or anything like that. We can hold each other accountable with love and with grace. So our pitfalls could be, i.e. shoes, it could be paper, it could be just products. You know, one person or another can be product junkies. I mean, I've had, you know, typically we stereotype that the wife or the women are product junkies. I've had several clients that the men are the product junkies. They have more hair care products or facial products or whatever than the women do. It could be collections of any kind. So we really have to recognize and understand each other's pitfalls. And I'll give you a perfect example. So earlier in the conversation, in the hour, I discussed that I am the only organized person that lives in this house. So sometimes I have to have a husband-wife conversation with my husband, and sometimes I have to have, you remember I said that my family is kind of like my continual test case. Sometimes
yes.
I have to speak with him as if I would speak to a client, because my motto in the workplace is no judgment at all.
Right.
I don't care how bad a situation is. I don't care how bad you think the situation is. I don't care how guilty or shameful you feel about your current situation. There's no judgment allowed, because my goal is to get you to your organizational goals. And sometimes I have to speak to and interact with my husband in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example of one of his pitfalls are lottery tickets, which is fine. He only buys like maybe one, you know, the pick two or whatever. But he has a challenge checking them. And then because he doesn't check them, they collect and they amass. And depending on my mood, I may just put them in the drawer in his nightstand.
Wait, stop right there.
Yes.
I love that, depending on my mood. It
yes.
already sounds like a threat. I just want to tell you that.
But see, that I told you, I have different things. Sometimes it's husband and wife.
Right.
Sometimes, and
right.
so therefore, there may be a little, you know, side
that's
eye look to that.
Hilarious.
That may
Go
be
ahead.
A little side eye look to that. But then, when I am having the conversation as an organizer to client, then I ask, so what can I make it, you know, do you check the lottery tickets? How often do you check them? What would make it easier for you to check them? And then, because when I speak to my clients, I ask a lot of questions, because I need to find a system and a method that's going to work for them. So I was able to determine that, you know, him grabbing some and you know, going to wherever he wants to check them, is that's a pitfall. That's a loophole where we need to kind of sew things up. So what I did, because the mass has grown, you know, over the months and maybe 12 to 18 months, I will grab a few, roll it up, tie a rubber band around it, and I put them in a sheet protector in his nightstand drawer. So
right.
all he has to do, if he feels like he has time to, you know, go check, he can take a little bundle, put it in his pocket, And then if he happens to go to, you know, 7-Eleven or wherever he gets his lottery tickets, he can turn them in to check them and it'd be done.
Right.
And then I realized another possible weakness is where do you put them, you know, before enough amass that you can roll it up in a bundle. You remember, you know, a long time ago when you would see somebody's desk and you see that little prick on their desk that they would put like receipts or phone messages?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is when, like, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm thinking, what could I do? What could I do that could be easy for him to, you know, put them instead of, because his natural tendency is to just put them on top of his nightstand. Mm-hmm. But after a week or two or three, that can become a mess. So I'm thinking, how can I find a system that would work for him that kind of goes along with his consistent behavior? And that picture literally popped in my mind. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I hope they still manufacture these little prick paper thingies. You know, I had no idea what they were called, but I found it.
Like the restaurants, because they put the orders up there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I went to just the normal general office supply store, and I found it. So now that is on his nightstand next to his lamp. And so now he can just, you know, poke the lottery tickets on top of there, and they're not all over. They're contained.
Yes.
They're contained. It's
That's
all
a great
about
word. Yes.
The containment.
Yes.
It's all about the containment. It's because any flat surface is suspect and it's susceptible to lazy clutter.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if it's a desktop, a dresser top, the floor, the island, even a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
It's susceptible to clutter mm-hmm. if there's no containment.
I love it. And speaking on products, I love products. I'm not a product junkie.
Yeah.
But what I do use, I like to get lots of it. I'm definitely one of those people. My brother always comes when he visits me. He goes, you know, sis, you have enough lotion to moisturize a small country. You know, you need to get a handle on that. And I'm like, no, that's not how it goes. I have a perfectly good reason to have this much lotion in the house.
And I love it.
Nothing to do with ashy skin. I know, you know, I deal with the ash away very well. But I have a specific company that I really like. And whenever they have their semi-annual sale,
yes,
I will get a case or two of mm-hmm. the lotion because the next semi-annual sale is not for another 6 months.
Right.
So I always,
and that is fiscally responsible. If you know that this is what you like, I am totally okay with that. That is fiscally responsible.
I cannot wait to use that term on him. Wait till I tell him how fiscally responsible I am being. And that's going to shut him up right quick.
Now, one thing that I will have to ask you, Cynthia, is this is one caveat to that. By the time the next semi-annual sale comes around, is your supply low?
It is low, and you want to know why? Because the main people who are complaining about it are coming over here stealing.
Oh, my God. Then you are justified. Justification given.
So justified because I laugh at them when I come back. And, you know, I'm one of those people that know when somebody's been touching my stuff. So when I'm through with one of the containers of lotion and I go into my closet and I look, something goes, yeah, you know you got two missing. You know, there's two. There's two missing. And I automatically either call my mom and go, Mommy, were you at my house today? She goes,
right.
No,
were you in my stash? Were you in my stash?
Yes. And she has no problem. And she was like, you know, I came to rob you. I needed some lotion. And I'm like, Mommy, you came all the way. You came to Yonkers. I live in Yonkers. She lives in Midtown Manhattan. And
mm-hmm.
if anybody knows, that's like a 45-minute trip. Mommy, you came to my house just to steal my lotion. Really?
And she's like, yes.
Yeah,
I did.
No shame whatsoever about what she does. She's like, you know, because she knows that's what I do. And she's like, heck, if you got the lotion, what do I need to spend my money? You know?
Right, especially since the semi-annual sale was 3 months ago. I'm not paying full price.
Exactly. Exactly. So I am thoroughly justified and fiscally responsible when I buy my lotion. It just kind of, you know, zinged me a little bit when he was like, you have enough lotion to moisturize the whole country. And I'm just like, you know what?
I love it. Hey, as long as you are using it and, you know, the people you love are using it, then, you know, then I think you're okay. Now, if you amass stacks and boxes and cases, you know, in between, then I would say maybe we need to tweak that method. But it doesn't sound like that's the case.
No, it is usually gone. And I like to make the bathroom look pretty, so I have little baskets full of lotions and, you know, things like that. And I buy what I call my decoy lotions anyway because I know it's what my family does. So I buy the decoy and I set them in, you know, open areas for the family to steal.
Decoy. I love it. Decoy lotions. I love it.
Those are my decoy lotions because I know that they're coming over and, you know, get the ones out in the open and stay out of my closet. Stay out of my closet.
I am going to use that in some form of fashion. I don't know if it's going to be with food or jewelry or something, but I'm going to have decoy something out in front and what I really cherish in the back. Oh, I love it.
It's so true. I do it like when I love hats, you know, I love coats. I, you know, I'm a bit of a fashionista.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone knows not to touch my shoes, so it's okay. My shoes are always kind of safe because they know that, you know, I will go postal. But
yeah, you're going to cut them. You're going to get cut.
Exactly. Exactly. I will find you. I will hunt you down and I will find you. However, you know, when I go and buy a hat and, you know, my mom has, you know, we have similar tastes. So she loves hats that I pick up or something like that. I always make sure to buy two or three.
Okay.
You know, or buy one in a different color. And then when I know she's coming over because she sees me wearing it and I see her staring at it sometimes, when she comes over, I have to put the decoy one out in the open. And, you know, and she'll say, oh, this is such a pretty hat, but it's a different color. You don't need this hat, right? I'm like, no, mommy, go right ahead. You know, you can
have that. Right. And she's just thinking, you're just the most generous daughter in the world.
Yes. So, but she, it's the decoy. It's the decoy, and it keeps her out of my closet.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I hope mommy is not listening to this because she's going to be like, oh, can I have that? And then go beeline to your closet. And it's like, that's where the real gold is.
No, Tanisha, she knows. So,
and but she's okay with it because she's getting a hat.
Really, yeah, she's really okay with it, but she knows about the decoys because she's like, oh, this is for me. It's as a mommy, you know it is. Go ahead, mommy, it's all yours. Take it, go for it.
Oh,
you know?
I love it. I love it.
So, for the listeners tonight, if you don't know about the decoys, get your decoys ready.
I'm going to be thinking about the decoy method myself.
Yes. Yes. So great. The fourth point, which was an excellent point, was to identify and recognize the organizational pitfalls. And so a flat surface can be a pitfall if you don't put something there, like you said, like that picker or that sticker, to put things. Don't just stuff it in a drawer. Find a system that works for you that keeps you accountable.
Yes. Yes,
excellent.
Yes, and we have to keep our spouses and ourselves accountable, but especially our spouses, but with love, with love, with love, with love, and grace, because
definitely.
That same grace that we would like someone to give to us, we need to extend to someone else.
Grace is about the decoy. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You have me out on the floor right now with this decoy method. I love it.
Know that if you touch something other than the decoy, you are void of all grace at that point.
That is Cynthia's grace. That is the grace. The decoy is the grace. I love it. Yes, I understand.
That you will get from Cynthia. I am not God. He has all the sufficient grace
yes.
in every other area. But if you touch something other than Cynthia's decoy, you are going to have a problem.
You know what's so funny? I just realized, because I'm at my desk, I just realized I instituted the decoy method without even realizing it. So I buy this specific pen that I love the way that it writes.
Yes.
So I'll buy them, you know, I'll buy like the pack of eight.
Yes.
But it always, and I'll, you know, I have them on my desk at home with my home office. but I will always see them like around the house, you know. And then when I need my pins, I can't find them. And I'm buying 8 at a time. I should be able to find them. So
yes.
what I did was I didn't even realize that I was using the Cynthia's Grace decoy method. I didn't realize that. So I had a little pin holder that I then put in an area next to my desk, next to my printer, mm-hmm. That had all of the pens that I want everybody else to use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I put those closer to where they would have to pass that little container of pens before they get to my stash that I have a level of value associated to it. I didn't even realize that I was using the decoy method.
That is your grace right there. That
yes, grace. You are correct.
Yes, that's all I'm saying. That's all the grace you get. Touch anything other than the decoy, and it is on.
Yes, yes, I love it. I love it.
Now, I want to stop for a minute and tell our listeners, if you're listening by the internet, you want to call in because, believe it or not, we only have 4 minutes left in the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't I tell you it was going to go fast?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
It was going to go fast. We have 4 minutes left in the show, and clearly the show is going to go over just a little bit. So if you don't want to miss the ending of the show, please do call in. The number is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you would like to join in the conversation or you have a question or a comment. Otherwise, just listen in, and you will not miss the rest of the show. So now, we're on to the fifth and final point about how you can join these two styles together. And you said, and I believe you said it was maintenance.
Yes, maintenance is key. Avoiding the excess. Make your life easier because getting rid of the excess clutter would eliminate 40% of the housework in the average home.
Wow.
40% just if you got rid of the excess. And basically, clutter is the things that don't, the overflow. It's the overflow. It's the things that don't fit behind the doors and in the cabinets and on the shelves and in the basket and on the closet rod and under the sink and, you know, wherever. It's the overflow. So if we can get that ratio of your storage spaces or your spaces in general with your stuff, if we can get that ratio right, then the excess is – it will be reduced, and the maintenance is so much easier. I mean, you know, people assume because I'm a professional organizer that my house is like Martha Stewart, B. Smith, you know, perfect, perfect, perfect. You know, like it should be in a magazine 24/7, you know, 365. And that's not the case, you know. Maybe it might be closer to the case if I live by myself, but that's a lonely life, so I would prefer dealing with what I have, you know. You know, like me and my pastor twin, we always like to say I am anointed for my family and my husband to deal with whatever comes with that. I'm not anointed for anybody else's family, anybody else's mess. But mine, I'm anointed for so I can deal with it. But if we can get that ratio down, you know, when my house is out of order, it doesn't take me long. It really doesn't take me long to do the housework. You know, because there's not that much overflow. I know where things go. I can tell somebody, okay, you know, you handle that room, and they know where everything goes. And so it doesn't – housework is the time I'm spending doing housework or maintaining is so, so minimal. And that affects, you know, that affects the organizational feel and the flow of the house together. So avoid the excess. Get that ratio together between the space and your stuff. And just make your life easier. You know, just think about it. There's a cost to clutter. One of those things is time. You know, you can waste time. There's emotional cost to it when you're passing by a room that you don't like or that gives you angst. There is relational. You know, if one person is very organized and the other person is not, it can be a strain on that relationship, or it can be a strain on people who come over and visit, like not your immediate family that live in the household, but, you know, like your in-laws or your parents or, you know, close friends and family. They come over and, you know, they may have conversations with you or what have you.
Right.
So, you know, there's cost of money. Money, that's a cost, the clutter, because if you can't find anything, you may repurchase it. You know, paper clutter, typically when there's a lot of paper clutter, then that bleeds over financially,
mm-hmm.
you know, with late fees and the IRS, you know, assessments and things like that. So just make your life easier and just work on that ratio and try and minimize the excess.
Yes, yes. I love that you said to avoid the overflow because, you know, I'm a PK, and when we talk about over, there's only a few areas where I want overflow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes, if we're going to talk about overflow, let's talk about my bank account.
Yes. My blessings, my favor, yes. All that. Yes, overflow. Yes. Give me as much as I can handle. Yes, and that is about it.
That's it. I would normally never say that I would like to limit my overflow, but after this conversation,
yes.
I definitely see where I would like to limit overflow, and the limitations should land in with clutter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's easy to see where the overflow is. You know what I mean? It's that area to where, you know, it's outside of where you would like it to be.
Yes, yes. So, oh, my goodness, I'm really enjoying this conversation. I don't know about my listeners. And I see some of my listeners are commenting.
Oh, good, good, good.
They are really enjoying it. One of them says, she's killing me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she is. She got us good tonight.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Because, you know, sometimes people get nervous when you start talking about organization. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's like, And I'm glad that there's humor with it because that means that my whole model, my whole methodology about no judgment, I'm here to help, that bleeds over into your radio show. I am here to help. Like, whatever your home situation is, whatever, I just want to transfer whatever skills, whatever knowledge, whatever tips and tricks to your listeners so that their life can be where they want it to be.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I am so glad that Tanisha was able to join us tonight to talk about 5 ways to live a more organized life together. And I love it that you really talked about the areas that clutter affects, from time to money to emotions, because then you get into little tiffs or arguments. About it. I love that we discussed the decoys, that, you know, we talk about getting our decoys together.
Yes.
You know, this month of April, we're talking about investments, and investments is not just about money. We are talking about making an investment into ourselves by becoming more organized, and not just in our personal lives and coming together as husband and wife, but also in our business. Everything that she's talking about tonight can transfer over to your business.
Yes.
Also affecting the same things. If you're organized in your business, you are more likely to have the right amount of time to do things and to keep money in your pocket. So I want to really thank Tanisha for coming on tonight from Natural Born Organizers to discuss this very important topic of being organized. Now, Tanisha, please tell us where we can find you on social media, because I want people to like your page. I want people to visit your website. Talk to us about where we can find you.
Yes. Well, my website is naturalbornorganizers.com. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at the same name, at Natural Born Organizers, and then also on Twitter at naturalbornorg.
Very good. Very good. Now, she has so graciously offered our listeners a wonderful deal that she has going on. Let me get to it. There's a 10% off prepaid 4-hour package using the promo code BT0401.
Yes.
I'm going to post that on the website as well.
Mm-hmm.
If if you would like a consultation or anything with our guest tonight, Tanisha, then I would take advantage of this. Now, do you do Skype consultations or anything? Because, you know, chances are I'm on the East Coast and my East Coast listeners are going to be like, how come, you know, what's up with us? How's she going? You know?
Yes, I do. I do virtual organizing as well. So I will use whatever technology is available. So whether it's FaceTime or Skype, yes, I do virtual organizing. So no matter where you are, you can take advantage of the offer.
Wonderful, wonderful, Tanisha. Again, I'm so grateful that you came on the show. I want to invite you to come back again.
Oh, definitely. It was my pleasure. It was my pleasure.
Goody, goody. We will be working together again. I can't wait to announce some of the things that we've been discussing about how we will be working together to help our readers and our listeners become more organized. But until then, please don't miss out on this month of organizing and investing in yourself. So, to our listeners, you know what's going on. We are about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. And because we are Tribal Wisdom, we know that it's not just about love. It is also about relationships. So, we will talk to you next week with another wonderful guest. We'll get into investments and have a wonderful week. And we'll talk with you soon. We love you.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Tribal Wisdom. Stop by bridaltribe.com and visit our media page for full recaps of every show, amazing articles, and free downloads. We have an ever-growing library of knowledgeable guests with vital information for any stage of your relationship. At Tribal Wisdom, we are order and excellence in action, and we are devoted to love.